This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
With Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Joe Truesman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Fog of war descends on the whole of the Levant, so we need what we can learn from the headlines. Joe, a good evening to you. I read from the breaking news that seems to break every 20 minutes. Signs grow of imminent ground up, writes the Times of Israel. Gallant, who is the defense minister, very controversial, an outspoken figure. You'll always see him in black. Anyway, next stage of war in North begins soon. Joe, a very good evening to you. The ground operation is not something we've counted on happening. The air war has dominated the headlines. The last time there was a ground operation into Lebanon, it went very badly. That's the 2006 war that was seen as Israel's Vietnam. So is there something different? Is there a different quality about this field? Because as of now, it begins to be a report, not a facts on the ground. Good day to you, Joe.
Hi, good day, John. Pleasure to be here as always. So yeah, I think right now what's happening is that the Israelis have Hezbollah off guard. They've caught Hezbollah off guard. And what I mean by that is in the last days and weeks, as I'm sure many have seen already, the news that Israel has launched these operations against Hezbollah with the pager attacks or exploding pagers, exploding radios, eliminating senior commanders, eliminating the secretary general or the leader of Hezbollah on Friday, in what essentially has become over the last week or two, the decapitation of most of Hezbollah's leadership. So I think what's happening is that the Israelis see an opportunity here, right? What they're trying to do here, we have to understand the goal here is not to eliminate Hezbollah in its entirety from Lebanon, okay? The goal here is to move Hezbollah away from the Israel's northern border, okay, where they have threatened Israeli civilians in northern Israel. So because during almost a year now, Israelis, a lot of Israelis in northern Israel have had to leave the area because of fighting, which Hezbollah initiated on October 8th. So we're definitely seeing movement here, I think, as far as a possible ground operation. I think it's going to happen. But I think it's going to be limited. I don't think we're going to see Israeli tanks rolling in Beirut. But this is the goal here for the Israelis, to return those Israeli civilians back to northern Israel.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yes, Joe, the attacks on the pagers, those types of networks, they track those networks through the pagers, through the communication system. Isn't an attack on that communication system through the pagers and others a long-term detriment to Israel, or is it simply the preparation for what will inevitably be the ground operation?
No, it's a very good question. I think, you know, when it comes to intelligence operations like this, you know, you'll sometimes read in the paper what happened, right? But as far as, you know, well, in this case, there was one report that said that Hezbollah figured out that the Israelis had somehow interdicted the pagers and put explosives in them. And essentially, Israel was forced to blow these pagers up early, right? That's one thing. But I think overall here, everything is pretty much worked out for the Israelis as far as operations against Hezbollah. These pagers or communications devices, I think they were very helpful to the Israelis as far as tracking members of Hezbollah, right? We've seen over the course of the last 11 months, important figures, especially commanders out in the field, being tracked by the Israelis and being struck by the Israelis, right? Essentially eliminating them. So I think these pagers or other communications devices that the Israelis may have hacked into have served a good purpose for them. But I think at the end of the day, I do believe the reports that the Israelis just pretty much were forced to use these exploding pagers at a moment's notice. But it seems like it worked out for them.
Joe, I go to the next and the next and the next. But I understand we have to tuck in this Nasrallah death. The funeral is going to be very carefully arranged, we're told, because of Israeli airstrikes. However, this isn't the first time they tried to kill Nasrallah. I'm told, I read, that they tried it several times during the 06 war. That prime minister at that point, Ehud Olmert, ordered it. What was different to your reading, Joe? Better bombs, better intelligence? Did Nasrallah go to the wrong building?
Right. So I think in this case, in 2006, right, the war started because the Israelis were essentially forced into it at a moment's notice. All right. Again, it started in 2006. The second Lebanon war started because the Israeli soldiers were attacked, right, at the border by Hezbollah fighters, and then they were abducted, and then now we see this, and then the Israelis were forced into this war, into the 2006 war at a moment's notice. But now, I think the Israelis learned from 2006, and now they've had 11 months of fighting with Hezbollah, right? So I think they also have better intelligence, all right? Definitely better bombs that are able to penetrate these bunkers that are deep below the Dahiya in Beirut. So, and then you can maybe attribute it to some luck as well, right? So nevertheless, I think the Israelis learned over the years from 2006, and they've been probably planning this for a long time, and everything worked out for them on Friday, and they were able to not only get Hassan Nasrallah, but others, other lieutenants, right? Including an IRGC commander that was with Nasrallah at the time. So it was quite a successful operation.
One other detail, Joe, and it's only what you read. No confirmation here. It's fog of war that the Israelis wanted to launch this attack before, and the U.S. said no. Have you heard that?
Yes, I have. And, you know, we have to understand that I think the concern here for the United States and other partners and Israel is that if Israel were to eliminate Hassan Nasrallah, right, it would start not only a war between both countries, between Lebanon and Israel, but it would ignite the region, right? And I think one could argue that the region is already in a low-level conflict, right? We have Iraqis, we have the Houthis in Yemen, Gaza, of course, the West Bank, Syria as well, launching, there's projectiles being fired from these countries towards Israel. And that's been going on for almost a year now. So I think we could say there's already kind of a low-level regional conflict going on. But I think what's happened is that the U.S. was very concerned that other countries would get involved here, right? That the Iranians would start attacking other, let's say, allies like the Saudi Arabia or the UAE or Gulf countries. That's what they were afraid of too. So I think they put this pressure on the Israelis not to hit Nasrallah, right? But we got to remember 11 months of diplomacy, right? To try to get Hezbollah to stop firing on the Israelis. It didn't work. And I think the Israelis ended up being forced to eliminate Nasrallah. And it worked out for them.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Well, yes, Joe, along those lines, It is deeply ironic, isn't it, that the United States would tell a country that is engaged in low-intensity conflict, that is a victim of a terrorist attack, to somehow restrain itself while we try to work out a deal with the people doing it. That must fall on deaf ears most of the time, doesn't it?
No, it's a very good point. I've heard it many times, believe me, over the last 11 months. And, you know, we're seeing this, too, that the Israelis are essentially proving the Biden administration wrong, right? We saw it a lot with Gaza. The Biden administration kept telling the Israelis, don't go into Rafah. You're going to cause a humanitarian catastrophe. These bad things are going to happen. And look what happened. You know, after months, the Israelis finally went into Rafah. They were able to seal the Philadelphia border. They were able to dismantle Hamas's Rafah Brigade and collect valuable intelligence and rescue hostages. So, you know, it's kind of strange the United States telling the Israelis this, right? And now we're seeing it with Lebanon, of course, now that, hey, the administration is saying, hey, Israel, I don't want you to launch a ground operation. We're totally okay with you defending yourself. You have a right to do that. But I think the Israelis have proven the U.S. or the Biden administration wrong so far.
We're speaking with Joe Truesman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. You can find Joe's reporting on Long War Journal. Joe mentions Gaza. When we come back, Hamas, where is it? That is McCotter. American Greatness is my colleague and co-host. I'm John Bash.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.